We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins with God to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God into all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow Him wherever He leads, Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings of the day. Okay. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and a delight in my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you will stand, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I'll make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you. For I am with you and save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I'll deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear of the Lord, you His saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from their all. The epistle readings from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Undo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Before we continue, since word pictures are really strong, it says, by so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. A lot of people have thought, I think that means make his conscience burn or burn his hair, whatever. It means the opposite. If I was on a trip and I were to return home, I would come home to a cold house and nothing to eat. I'd have to find some way to start my fire. But if on the way home somebody says, hey, here's a pot and had a towel and it was all nice and coals on my head, I would carry it home and I would have the beginnings of my meal and could heat my home overnight. So it's the opposite of trying to cause them harm. It's actually a way of helping your enemy get home and be cared for. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we rise?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to thee.
Jesus begins to tell about his death and resurrection. Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, that this should never happen. This should never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
My life.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good. I'll read you a quote from a man named Tim Keller, pastor in New York. The gospel says, you are more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe, but more accepted and loved than you ever dared hope. I like that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask today that you would come by your Spirit, take the words that we share and put them in a place in our heart where it can speak life, can correct error, can give hope and bring comfort. We pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak about Ephesians 2:10 this morning. That's where, right after Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man can boast. And then it says, for we are his workmanship, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me say it again so we get the picture. It says, we are God's workmanship. Picture in Genesis. We're God's workmanship, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We don't have to figure out any good work. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to do anything God calls it good, he already prepared that for you to walk in. That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. But I like to go back to Genesis first and think about the first verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without shape and it was empty, not meaning that it was bad. It just wasn't yet what God was planning. So he, first day, did this. That's good. Second, third, that's good. Fourth, fifth. And then he says, that's very good. So God began to shape and began to fill this creation that he could call good. And as he summed it all up, very good. You got the picture? Okay, that's the creation. Now it says in Ephesians 2:10, you are his creation. You're created for good works, which he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Now let me ask you a question. I discovered this one day and it kind of surprised me. Why did God rest on the Sabbath day? That's a question. I always thought it was because he's finished with his creation. Let me read you a verse from Deuteronomy. I got it marked here. It says, observe the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates. So that you may, your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Obviously, I'd read that before because I have it underlined. I read that one day and I thought, wait a minute, I always thought it was because God created the earth. But here it says, because I brought you out of slavery, I commanded the rest. Okay, I know you're kind of wondering what you may have read before. Let me read you, this is from Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord. On it you shall not do any work. Neither shall your son or daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, your animals, nor your alien within your gates. But for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I never knew that the Sabbath was declared a day of rest for two reasons. The first one in Genesis is because God rested from his labors. He finished creating, and so he rested. He says, now, when it's all finished, you rest in that, right? But then he also said, I brought you out of Egypt. That's when he gave the commandments in Deuteronomy. And he says, because of that, because I brought you out of slavery, you're not a slave anymore, you rest in that. Now, for the Christian, what? We're a new creation, And he set us free from slavery. Right? Remember Romans where it says, don't you know that if you have been baptized, you've been buried with Christ. And if you've been buried with Christ, you've been raised with Christ. So the power of sin to enslave you is broken. You understand what he's saying here? So he's saying both are a reason for rest. God made you a new creation. You're supposed to rest in that. You don't have to go, I see, oh man, this week, what have I got to do to get God to be pleased with me? I don't have to do a thing. He's already created me a new creation, and he's already brought me out of slavery, so I'm free. And he says, now, those two things, rest in that. Trust that what I've done is made you a new creation, and trust that I brought you out of slavery, so the power of the enemy is broken. You say, well, wait a minute. I think he was following me around this last week, and he had quite a bit of influence on my life. His only power, His only power is the power of deception. And the greatest deception is that he has power. Let me say it again. His only power is deception, and his greatest deception in the whole church is that he does have power. The devil made me do it. What was his name? Flip Wilson? No. The devil cannot make you do anything because you're a new creation, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. And if God commands it, it's done. So the enemy would like to convince us that it's not done, that we really can't do all those things that God commands us to do. But with God, all things are possible. We need to trust that what God has said is true. We are a new creation, and that the power of the enemy has been broken. We're set free from being slaves. Now, as I was getting ready for the message today, I remember reading in Revelation 14:13, it says, therefore those who die in the Lord henceforth have ceased from their labors. You say, wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to rest. Well, the scripture also says, strive to enter into rest. That sounds a little bit backwards. It says, work hard at resting. Do you know why? If you don't work hard at resting, you're going to work hard at doing. It's the choice you make. So he says, choose, stay, focus on trusting what God has done and resting what he is doing. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old passed away. The new has come. That's what he says to us. Now, the enemy would like to do anything he can to make us think that our actual being is still sinful. That's not what the scripture says. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is not would be, could be, should be, ought to be, want to be. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. We are created for good works, which he's prepared beforehand, that we should simply walk in him. Corrie ten Boom one time said, if you look around, you get distressed. If you look inside, you get depressed. If you look at Jesus, you come to rest. And if you know the story of her life, that was not an easy thing. A couple weeks ago, Liz and I were watching PureFlix, and I picked a movie called Timeless Love. And in the beginning of the movie, it shows this husband and wife waking up, very happy with each other, chattering back and forth, and about that time, arguing about who's going to do what. He was a photographer and she was a writer. About that time, the noise comes down the hallway and two kids bounce into the room, piling on the bed, you know. And it was just, you know, this wonderful scene. And so she tells the kids they got to get ready for school, you know. And so she goes to the bathroom for a little while. She comes back out and things are really quiet. And she hollers the kids, she says, time to get ready. And she thought they were hiding from her. So she starts looking at all their favorite places to hide and couldn't find them. So she hollers up to her husband, and it's quiet. She goes up there, and he's not there. She walks around. She's in an empty house. And she wakes up in a coma. From a coma, she's in the hospital. She's had this picture. I'll just call it a picture. She's had this picture of a family being married, having two kids. She's a writer, and he's a photographer. And all of that is more real than real life. because she says, "Where's my husband?" And her mom and her dad were there and said, "Hun, you're not married." "Well, where's my kids?" "You don't have any kids." But she's just really caught because she knows this life is more real than herself. But they even get the hospital shrink to kind of help her through this. And so she kind of backs off on that story. But a friend of hers begins to kind of believe that she saw something. Well, she has to get some kind of a job, and her dad was going to put her on at this nice executive position at the company where he was. No, she just wanted to get some kind of a temporary for right now because she wanted to start writing. And so she gets a job at this photography studio, and she walks in, and there's her husband. But he doesn't know. He doesn't have this picture. And he starts talking to her, and she's just smiling, looking at him. He thinks, "What is going on here?" You know, he kind of rolls his eyebrows. And all along the way, she's so handy, she comes in with coffee and hands him one, but it's hot chocolate, because she knew he liked hot chocolate, not coffee. So she's really handy. She just knows him inside out. And she has this list of his name on the top and all the things she knew about him, personal, particular things. And when they're coming back from a shoot out at Miller's Farm, it's a barn, it was a favorite place to go, and he didn't tell her, but he took a picture of her against the barn there. Anyway, they're bringing it. She drops her purse and goes down. He starts to pick it up, and he sees this yellow sheet with his name on it and all these things that she knew about him. He says, "You've been stalking me?" It scared him. He says, you need to leave. And so she does. She's brokenhearted. But she tries to tell him that he was her husband and that they have kids. Of course, that sounds crazy, right? And so he goes away, and he really cared about it by this time. And then he realizes he had taken a picture of her at Miller's barn that he had not told her about. He takes that picture and he says, "Hey, how about, you know a lot about me, how about if we get to know each other?" And along the way, she had seen this house. It was unfinished, but she knew that was the house they lived in. Well, the end scene shows them in the house. She's putting that picture on the wall of her against Miller's barn. And I woke up about 2 nights later and I thought, that's like a picture of being a new man in Christ. This life that is mine, I'm living my way into it, but it's more real. It's more real. And people want to try to convince me, no, that's not real. Yes, it is. I am what I haven't yet become. I am a new man in Christ. I'm in the process of becoming more and more. That's why I said several Sundays ago, I am not a sinner saved by grace. I am a son of God becoming more Christ-like. That is who I am. That's my identity. That's who I am becoming. I'm not there yet. I haven't lived it out yet. But she knew that was more real than the physical world she ended up with when she came out of the coma. We need to get that picture, that the life of Christ in us, who we are, for we are His workmanship, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God sees a future we haven't seen yet. I'm sure many of you have heard of Helen Keller. She literally traveled around the world, and she was responsible for passing laws that still protect people with difficulties. She was a very young child when she had a disease that left her blind and no hearing. Okay, blind, no hearing. And her dad was really discouraged about, she was just wild. They couldn't control her, couldn't communicate anything with her. And he had contacted the Perkins School of the Blind for somebody to come and possibly help her. And a young lady came. Her name was Ann Sullivan. And when Ann started working with her, she was just wild. She wouldn't let anybody touch her hair, and her dirt clothes were usually dirty. But the breakover point was that one day she took Helen's hand and put under water and then spilled water in her hand, held in the water and spilled water. And Helen got it, that everything has a name. And she taught Helen Keller to do sign language. She taught Helen Keller to read lips with her fingers. She taught her in part to speak a little bit as well. And when Helen Keller was going to receive a Nobel Peace Prize, she was asked, who was the most influential woman in her life? And she said, Anne Sullivan. Let me back up and tell you a different story now. There's a Tewksbury Institute. It was a place that held some people who were insane. There was a little girl there that had a disease that was taking her eyesight away, and by age 10, she couldn't see. She was totally blind. And they had her locked up in a cage, like a prison cell in the basement, because she was wild. When they tried to take care of her, she'd scratch, claw, and spit, whatever, kick them. And so they would just, you know, put the food through the door, but basically left her to herself. One day a man, Martin, was leaving the Tewksbury Institute and bumped into a housemaid there, an older lady by this time. He says, and he kind of apologized for bumping into her and said, you know, how long she'd been. She'd been working there almost since the place had started. And he says, can you tell me anything about the history? She says, well, I can't tell you anything about the history, but I can show you something. She took him down the basement, and she pointed to a cage, like a prison, a jail door. And she said, there was a little girl in there named Annie, and she was wild. And she began to tell the story that one day took some brownies down there. And her lunch hour, she would go down and read this little girl in there, this little wild thing, about the Bible. She just read stories from the Bible. And the little girl started eating the brownies. They became friends. And that word got back up to the offices. And they began to come down, and they would ask this maid to help them anytime they wanted to talk. So she would go in and say, Annie, you know, the people are going to be coming down, hold her hand, and she was manageable, and she could do that. That little Annie was Anne Sullivan. And I looked for it, and I could not find the name of the maid. But she was a new creation. And she simply did with excellence what was right in front of her. Here's a little wild girl. What could she do? Brownies and a kind word. And that little girl then went to Perkins Institute for the Blind and learned to do Braille, learned to do sign language, all the things that she needed someday when she'd meet this wild thing called Helen Keller and bring her to the world. And so when Helen Keller said the most influential person in her life was Anne Sullivan, Anne Sullivan said, no, Helen, it was that maid that spoke to me. Because of her, they were both who they were. Sometimes I think we think, okay, I'm going to do something. I'd like to do something amazing or gracious. Any of you ever dreams like that? I would have dreams that I'd preach and I'd start going off the floor. Crazy things. You know, we want to be something amazing. In Ephesians, at the very end, chapter 6, verse 21, there's this guy named Tychicus. Have you ever heard of the name Tychicus before? Who's Tychicus? Nobody knows him. His name means by chance, his nickname could have been Lucky, because that's what his name meant. Don't have any idea who he was or where he came from. And I'm sure he had thoughts of doing something great. So when Paul says, hey, Tychicus, come here, I have something I want you to do. I'm sure he had ideas of what wonderful thing it was going to be. And Paul handed him this little scroll. He says, I want you to take this from Ephesus. I want you to carry it. I want you to carry it from where Paul was. I want you to carry it to Ephesus. 5,000 miles. And we're still reading it today. There's a place in chapter 16 in Romans where Paul lists off, you know, thanking Phoebe, and it goes on down. 27 people. One of them isn't even named. There's this guy named Rufus. And Paul says, and his mother treated me like a mother. So when Paul came to town, she was the one who had been doing the bacon and eggs for Paul. Her name isn't even mentioned. The issue isn't whether we're known. The issue is, are we a new creation, and are we willing to walk that out by the grace God gives? All we need to do is just keep our eyes open and be Jesus in situations that nobody else may ever remember. I don't know I'll ever be able to find the name of that maid, probably long since in glory. But she made a difference. Yeah. Some could say, St. Paul Wallace, what difference is St. Paul Wallace going to make? And I'd say, well, St. Paul is a congregation of new creation people who simply need to walk out the works that God's prepared beforehand that they should walk in. I'd like to pray for that. Father, whatever you have purposed, the place in history that nobody else could have filled the way St. Paul has, either its past, its present, or its future. God, I know that you're a creator God, and you rest from what you've made. You're also the God who brought us out of slavery, and you rest in that. And you invite us to trust you both for the creation and for the freedom. And so we ask, Father, the work that you look at and that you sent the Spirit to hover over and shape it and fill it in a way that you can call it good. We trust that you have, are, and will be doing that same work here at St. Paul. And we, Father, we ask that you'd bless that, convince us of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty Avenger, teach your faithful ones to trust so fully in your fatherly care that they seek not vengeance but mercy. Stoke our zeal to bless those who curse us and so help holy coals upon their heads. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, you have made us feast on your word and delight in our hearts. Keep us from the worldly company of revelers who despise your word, and inspire the pastors of your church to brazenly proclaim what is precious, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home and between neighbors. Let love be genuine, speech truthful, and patient constant. Let us commend ourselves in everything as those known by God's love and therefore unashamed to serve one another. Lord, in your mercy. Persevere, preserve our nation, its leaders, and those who serve for the good of our people and for their protection. Grant peace in our time, O Lord. For you alone fight for us. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we ask that you'd heal and restore those that we pray for, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galabeas, Mary and Alfred Durson, Jerry Schaffner, Cynthia Skolton, Dean and Sue Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, Don and Donna Tolner, J. J.D. Reyes, and Tavi Kaylee, and Brielda Escobedo. And Lord, we ask that you give to them your holy care and strength to bear the crosses that they have, that they may endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, lead us to repentance and faith, that we might not think more highly of ourselves than is right, but that we should set our hearts and minds on the things of God. Prepare us to receive the blessed gifts of our Lord's table, by which you preserve us holy and blameless in Christ until he comes again. Lord, in your mercy. Rise up, O Lord, and avenge those who are persecuted for the name of your Son, Jesus. In communion with all your saints, grant us endurance to bear our crosses as Christ bore his for us. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let's rise. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Before we continue with words of institution, we just said, therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we're singing together, holy, holy, holy. Those are all the people that we've known and loved who have gone on before us. They're the company of heaven. Now, they sing holy, holy, holy. They're not aware of us now and what's going on. That would make them sad. And we're not with them yet, but we're still one company, one body in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. In the same way also after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them. He said, take this and drink of it, all of you. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord always be with you. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. Lord says, this is his body, broken for you. Take and drink. The Lord's blood, which he poured out for you, for the remission of all of your sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace then. Amen. Take and eat. This is the Lord's body broken for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it strengthen and preserve you in this faith, the true faith, into life without end. Amen. Jesus broken for you. Take and eat the body of Jesus broken for you. Take and eat the Lord's body. And Lord, the life you've given, continue to give grace and peace. And Lord, what you have purposed, finish. Take and drink. Lord's blood poured out for you. Baby, take and drink. Take and drink the blood of Jesus. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in true faith to life eternal. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.